This is Matt Jordan. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. We are continuing this morning with a short series of messages regarding a healthy relationship with Christ, using as our foundation the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to John. The 11th chapter of John is a familiar place to us. We are acquainted with this family, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Last week we learned that one of the things that that's absolutely necessary for us to have a healthy relationship. I hope it's okay to use that terminology. You might have a better phrase to use, and that's, I'd like to hear it. But to have a spiritually healthy relationship with Christ. We understand that Christ initiates and establishes the relationship with His people. We understand that. The Bible is clear. All throughout, especially the New Testament, we are taught how that being dead in sin, that we don't have the ability or the desire to reach up to Him. But yet He comes to us. So we understand that. So we're talking about you this morning that have been, embraced by God's grace. You this morning who have an interest in the love of God, in the grace of God, you who have an interest in serving the Lord, you who have an interest in His Word, you who have been pricked in the heart by His Word, you who have an interest in these things, I want to encourage you and try to speak to you some more this morning about what we need in order to have a healthy relationship with Christ. Not just a relationship. He has established that for us. How well are we getting along? How well are we doing in our part of that relationship? We saw last week from verse 2 where we read about Mary sometime in the past, how that Mary came to the Lord and anointed Him with ointment and wiped His feet with the hair of her head. One of the things I see in that scene from times past is a reverence for the Lord. We mentioned this last Sunday, so we're rehearsing just a little bit. A reverence for the Lord. It's absolutely necessary for us to have a relationship, a healthy relationship with Christ, is that we reverence Him, that we stand in awe of Him. Stand in awe of what He's done for us, of what He's done in general. When we look out, it's so easy. It is for me. I think it probably is for you. To go out at night, and I've shared this with you time and time again, to go out at night and look up into the heavens and stand in awe. And it makes you feel about this big or less. And to stand in awe of God's creation. To walk in the woods. To stand in awe of the beauty of His creation. Well, that's wonderful to do that. But we also should be able to stand in awe of Jesus Christ. And the more we know about Him, the more we understand why He came into the world, the more we understand about what He did while He was here in the world, the more we understand about what He accomplished in His death and burial and resurrection and how He came and died for you because He loved you personally, we should be standing in awe of Him. We stand in awe of Him when we realize our wretched condition by nature, when we realize that we're dead in sin, that we come into this world with that kind of nature and that we have no ability, we have no strength, and we have no desire for the things of the Spirit until He comes to us. And when we realize that He had no reason to come to us other than that He chose to do so, when we realize all of these things, the more we realize of these things, the more we stand in awe of Him. So that was one of the things we talked about last week. Reverential fear of Him. Reverence Him, to stand in awe of Christ. Another thing we talked about last week was from verse 3. Now, in this little family here, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we find out that Lazarus was sick. And obviously, Mary and Martha were very concerned about their brother Lazarus. They were very concerned about his sickness. Evidently, they believed that it possibly that this sickness was unto death. And I mentioned to you last week, we know the story here. We know what happens. We know the conclusion. We know it. At this time, if we put ourselves in this scene, at this time, Mary and Martha didn't know the ending. They didn't know the conclusion. So one of the things that's necessary for us to have a healthy relationship with Christ is to be able to know and recognize and acknowledge who it is we go to in a time of crisis. If you have a healthy relationship with Christ, you're going to go to Him in a time of crisis. Or we need to go to Him at all times when times are good. We need to go to Him in thanksgiving. We need to go to Him with praise. But who do we go to in a time of crisis? Mary and Martha thought that their brother Lazarus was so sick that possibly he was going to die of this illness, so they sent word unto Jesus. Whatever else Mary and Martha knew and realized, I think they had a great insight as to who this man Jesus was. I think they knew a lot more than most anybody else in that day. They wanted Jesus to know. They sent him word. Now, little did they know that Jesus already knew. They didn't know that. They wanted Jesus to know, not just to inform him, but because they knew that he was the one that could help. In fact, they knew he was the only one that could help. He was the one that they wanted to go to in a time of crisis. So y'all awake? Nobody's smiling. I think you ought to be smiling about some of these things. We're talking about a healthy relationship with Christ. Do we want that? Are we interested in that? Verse 3 says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They wanted Jesus to know. They went to him in a time of crisis. We have to do that. Now, that's some other things we talked about last Sunday. So let's see now if we can move on a little bit further. Let's begin reading in verse 4. Here we have Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. Mary and Martha, his sisters, have sent word unto Jesus. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now remember, Jesus is a little ways away. Okay, he's not there in the town of Bethany where they are. Okay, this sickness, and so he says to his disciples and those that are around him, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Sometimes we wonder why things happen the way they do. Whether it's sickness or disease that affects us, that affects our families, or whether it is some financial crisis perhaps in our family. We look at a crisis, and sometimes we look at things and we make a crisis out of them, and they're not really a crisis. But when we have problems, whatever problem, whatever size it may be, we look at that situation and we question. We wonder why. Why did this happen? Why? And yes, we do say, why did God allow this to happen? We do that. It's just natural. We don't always have all the answers either, do we? Well, here is one answer, if nothing else. If nothing else. If we have no other answer, here's an answer. Jesus said about this sickness, about Lazarus being sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death. What did he say? He said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's not always, nod your head if you agree with me on this, if you're not ashamed to admit it, that is not always utmost in our minds when problems arise. How can this glorify God? How can this situation honor God and be to the glory of His Son? That's not always, right? That's not always, or whichever way you want to do it. Agree with me, if you will. If you're not ashamed to. That's not always first and foremost in our mind. Usually the first thing in our mind is, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of this situation? How can I resolve this crisis? Or who can help me resolve this crisis? And again, in the times of crisis, who do we go to first? Do we look within? Do we look to our neighbor? Do we look to our parents? Do we look to the president? Do we look to wherever? Who do we go to? Who do we look to first? One of the things that is absolutely necessary for us to have a healthy relationship with Christ is not only to respond to crisis like we ought to, you know, in the proper manner, but also to respond to His workings, if you will. And ultimately, whatever He does... Now, don't get me wrong on something, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I don't think God caused this sickness. I really don't. God suffered it to happen, yes. God doesn't cause things like... Now, if He chooses... that's another matter. There's some deep things about God that I don't understand. I have to admit that. But God doesn't cause evil. I know that. I know that for a fact. But God does suffer some things to happen. And sometimes He suffers things to happen what seems bad to us. And they are bad and they hurt and they're painful. And but He suffers those things to happen because He's got something better on the other side of it. Would you agree with that? He's got something better on the other side. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about on the other side of the crisis. Okay? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This is going to result in the glory of God. This is going to result in that the Son of God will be glorified. Again, that's not always first and foremost in our mind. If we respond to a crisis in that manner, you know what it does? Boy, it really alleviates the pain. It really does. It lessens, alleviates the pain and the suffering. Because we know now that, hey, something is going on here, whatever it is, and whatever God may be allowing or suffering to happen, and whatever He may do, I'm going to trust in Him because I know He's going to be with me. Whether He takes me out of the crisis, or whether He sees me through the crisis, or whether something changes in my life that turns out to be a permanent situation, He's going to be there with me. He's going to give me grace to bear it. He's going to give me grace to bear it. You see, solving a crisis doesn't always mean ending the crisis. It doesn't mean that the sickness is always taken away, but we're given grace to bear it. In this case, Lazarus, this sickness, is not unto death. And then he says, let's read on. Now Jesus loved Martha and his her sister and Lazarus. I wonder why that's in there. This is the second time that the love between Jesus and this little family is mentioned. You see, back in verse 3, when they sent word to Jesus, they said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And now here in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha. I wonder why that is mentioned twice now. In the beginning of this account, it's mentioned twice about the love between Jesus and this little family. I mentioned this last week, I think. God loves me, God loves you. And that love is the same degree. But when Jesus was here in the world, we find there's a few certain people that something is mentioned about the love that they shared. And I think from that standpoint, Jesus as a man, yes, as Christ, but also as a man while he was here in the world, he had a special relationship with certain of his disciples. Maybe a closer fellowship, a closer communion with them than he did with others. Perhaps that's the case with this little family. That's a precious thought to me. That's a precious thought to me. While the love of God that will bring you all the way to heaven one day, while that love is the same, it's the same degree of love for all of His people, all of His children, but yet there is a way that we can draw closer to Him and enjoy a special relationship with Him while we live here in the world. Perhaps that was the case with this little family. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Well, Jesus, if you love them so well, why are you letting this happen? That's what we would be asking if we were on the scene and we didn't know the conclusion. Remember, put the conclusion out of your mind. Well, Jesus, if you love them so well. In fact, look at verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He stayed where he was. He didn't drop everything and go running. That's what we want Jesus to do. We want Him to drop everything and settle my problem. We want Him to drop everything and resolve my crisis. Well, now, I think Mary and Martha had a great love and reverence for Jesus. And we're going to see, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we're going to see some things that they said to Him when Jesus finally did get there. But He stayed where He was. Jesus, if you loved them so much, why didn't you take off and go over there and help them? All right, here's something else. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, if it is to be a healthy relationship, We need to know how to respond to His love, and sometimes His love means that He suffers some things to happen. And sometimes, not talking about this situation, but I'm just going to throw this in here as well. Sometimes the situation is the way it is because it's as the consequences of our own actions. And sometimes, as a loving Father does, God suffers those consequences, maybe for a short time, maybe for a longer period of time. But as a loving Father, and as a loving Father, oftentimes He chastens us and corrects us, as a loving Father ought to. How do we respond to His love in that way? How do we respond to His love when it's shown, when it's demonstrated in chastening and correction? Well, I don't believe that was the case here, but here is a special occasion, okay? This that we read in the 11th chapter of John is a special occasion. And again, you know what takes place, but how do we respond to His love? Do we respond in just a casual way? And that's how you hear sometimes the love of God expressed and preached on. And God's love just so free, and it is free, but it's just so flowery and just so sweet, and there's never any problems, or that God never frowns on us, or God never does anything that's going to, chasten us in any way or anything. God's love is not that way. God's love is, it includes some pain sometimes. It hurts when we're chastened, okay? It hurts when we're corrected. It's not a pleasurable thing all the time, but it's still love. It's still God's love, okay? Well, anyway, let's move on. He says, He stayed there for 2 days. Stayed there for 2 days. All right? Verse 7 says, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Here is his disciples. Let's pause here for just a moment. I think here's another point that we can make for a healthy relationship with Christ. These disciples, they were concerned about the well-being, the safety of Jesus. They said, "Jesus, we go back there again, and the Jews, they're seeking your life. They wanted to stone you. You're gonna go back over there again. You know there's danger ahead." From a physical standpoint, listen to me carefully now. From a physical standpoint, they were concerned about the safety of Jesus. Now let's ask ourselves this question. Are we concerned, having a relationship with Christ, are we concerned what others say about our Lord? Are we concerned, does it bother us when others speak negatively about our Savior? Are we concerned when we hear others speak blasphemy against the Lord? From a physical standpoint, these disciples were concerned for His safety. What about us? Does it bother us when people mock the Lord? They mock you, perhaps, and what you believe. Now that really hurts when they start mocking you, doesn't it? Well, what about, maybe they're not mocking you specifically. Maybe they're speaking ill of your Savior. Maybe they're making fun of Christianity in general. Does it bother us when Christ is not honored out there among the people of the world? These Jews, they're talking about, they wanted to kill Jesus, and the disciples were concerned about it. They were worried about it. "Jesus, we don't need to go back over there. You don't need to go back over there. They're going to kill you." And then Jesus speaks to them some things here in verse 9 and 10. Let's read that real quickly. He said, "Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Now, I'm not sure exactly what all Jesus just told the disciples. I honestly don't. I understand a little bit about walking in the day. I understand a little bit about Jesus being the light of the world. In fact, I read over in 1 John. In fact, I don't want to turn over there. 1 John chapter 1, the same writer here, he says some things like this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Fellowship. Relationship with Christ. Fellowship. And that's what we're really talking about here. A healthy relationship. We're talking about fellowship with Christ. Being able to walk side by side with Him. Being able to lay claim to His name. Being able to spend time in close communion with Him. John also wrote over there, but if we walk in the light, okay, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Did you know that a healthy relationship with Christ requires that we have a healthy relationship, fellowship with one another? That's the truth. That's the truth. We're not to be isolated out here as an island all to ourselves. In order for us to have a healthy relationship with Christ, it's necessary that we have a healthy relationship, fellowship with one another. He says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we get into some things here when it comes to walking in the light, walking in the truth. That's part of what the light is. The light reveals truth. The light is often associated with knowledge. If we walk in the light, we're walking along in the light of Christ, in the light of His Word, in the knowledge and understanding of His Word. We're going to enjoy fellowship with Him. We should be enjoying fellowship with one another. John, let's turn to John chapter 14. You can put your finger there on John chapter 11. I don't know if we're even going to get back to that. John chapter 14. I want to try to expand a little bit on this thought of walking in the light. These are some things that this is necessary for us to have a relationship with Christ. We need to have reverence for Him. We need to turn to Him in a time of crisis. We need to know that He's the one to turn to. We need to know how to respond during that time of crisis. Know how to respond to His sovereignty. We need to know how to respond to His love. What do we enjoy then as our relationship with Christ becomes more healthy? Listen to this in John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto Him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with Him. Now we're talking about communion and fellowship with Christ. We're not talking about obeying the Word of Christ so that He will begin to love us. We're talking about a communion and fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with the Father. If we love Him, we show our love for Him by keeping His Word. By walking as a disciple, walking in obedience to His Word. And it says, if we do that, He says, My Father will love you. We will come unto you. We will make our abode with you. We'll have a dwelling place. We will have a place of intimacy. That's what it means when you're talking about an abode. It's not just a place where we meet. It is an intimacy. It has to do with a family relationship. Think about it being in your home. Things are much more intimate in your home, right? And you express your love and with one another in your family. That's what we're talking about here. A family relationship, a more intimate relationship. We follow His Word. Jesus says He and His Father will come to us and make their abode with us. Look in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A healthy relationship with Christ is not only going to result in a love and an intimate relationship, more intimacy, a more intimate relationship with Christ, but we're going to experience a peace like there isn't, like none other. And Jesus said that there's that's not like the peace that the world promises. Well, there is no peace out there. This is a peace that Christ said, I will give you. And this peace speaks to you and says, let not your heart be troubled. Regardless of the crisis, regardless of the circumstances, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's peace. A healthy relationship with Christ means peace. We find peace in Him. Look in chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me. Again, we're talking about an intimate relationship, an intimate a family relationship. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know what happens as a result of a healthy relationship with Christ? Not only we experience a greater sense of His love, not only do we enjoy the peace that speaks to us and tells us not to be troubled, but we're going to produce fruit. Abiding in the vine, we're going to be producing fruit. And what does He say on down? Verse 5, that's a good verse too. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. In this healthy relationship that we're trying to develop with Christ, eventually we should be producing fruit. And that fruit is what? He says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Discipleship, fellowship, relationship, a healthy relationship with Christ. That fruit that we want to produce, that we want to bear, glorifies our Father. Again, what I said a few minutes ago about, especially in a time of crisis, I have to admit, glorifying our Father is not always first on my mind. But even in the midst of the crisis, if we have this healthy relationship, you know, if we've been working on that before the crisis arises, then even in the midst of that crisis, we're going to be able to produce fruit because we're looking to Him in that time of crisis. We're trusting in His grace. We're depending on His love. We're experiencing the peace that He speaks to us. And we're still walking as a disciple of His. We're not running and hiding and we're not ashamed of Him even when things are going badly. But we're still walking, trying to walk as disciples of His, and we're going to produce fruit, and that will glorify our Father. That's our ultimate, ought to be our ultimate end, our ultimate aim, to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, for a closer walk with our Savior. The more we learn about Him, the more we are drawn to Him. May each one of us be blessed with a clearer view and realization of just what the Lord has done for us. Come and worship with us this morning at Rocky Mount Church. May you be blessed to experience the fullness of His grace and mercy.